Welcome to the Community Rewatch Podcast. I'm Jen, your host through all things Greendale. Today is a special day, and that's because our podcast turns one. Woo! Enter noisemaker sounds, cheering, rounds of applause here. Obviously, it's a very exciting milestone for us, and I said us because who else would I have on this wonderful call but our good friend and yours, Chels. Hi, Chels. What are you doing?
Not spawned. The Cookie Dough Cafe chocolate chip cookie dough cups. They come in individual sizes. What? Please sponsor us because I want more of this.
What is, like, is it edible cookie dough?
Yeah.
What? That's amazing.
How have I not told you about this? I've been eating so much edible cookie dough since, like, July.
I don't know. I don't know that I've ever heard of them. I hope that they exist here. I hope that they sell them.
It's in your fridge section of the grocery. Look around, like cinnamon rolls, like Pillsbury and all that jazz. And they should be right around there, maybe around puddings or yogurts or stuff. Okay. That's usually where I find things like that. It's made my life so much better.
I love
edible. There's so many brands, too.
Ugh, I love edible cookie dough. Guys, this is just a precursor to all the food conversations.
I'm celebrating our child's birthday.
Yes.
We've made a child.
We have. And our bebe is 1 year old. I am celebrating because it's not hot in Florida, but it's fall. So I am drinking an apple cider mule, which is basically just a mule and you put sparkling apple cider in it as well. So it's very delicious and refreshing. We did it. We turned one. That's so weird. Chels, do you remember me being like, hey, want to do a thing together?
I don't even think you approached me like that. You were tweeting about making a community podcast, and I was like, hey, if you need help editing,
yes,
holla.
Yeah.
And look at what
look
me
at us
actually
now.
Reading Twitter has done.
Look at what reading has done for you. All those classes.
I've come so far.
I'm so proud of you. If this was like a graduation ceremony, I would give you a speech about how much
I have a cap and gown right over here. It just came
just
in
go.
The mail. I'm not Ooh. Kidding. My oh, cap and gown just came in the mail.
That is amazing.
For my virtual graduation ceremony that I will be
skipping. Well, yeah, I was going to say, you know, virtual graduation. But we're having a virtual birthday party because why not? Yeah, it's the 1 year anniversary of our technically first episode. It is the kind of intro to what we will be talking about. So it's just me. But yeah, it's been such a fun year and a very unexpected one at that in so many ways. Not just good for us, bad for the world. So yeah, it's been a really good year for us. And we reached out to you guys because we thought, what better way to celebrate a milestone than by asking our listeners, what do you want to hear us talk about? And we said, the sillier, the better. So we will talk about the podcast. We will talk about community a bit for those of you who have submitted those questions. We're also going to be talking a lot about food, which is very on brand for us, as you have just discovered 2 seconds ago. So to kick things off, how about we just start off with a question about the podcast itself. Chels, what's been your favorite episode over the last year that we've recorded?
Oh, that we've recorded?
Sure.
I will say, solely because of the outtakes, the conspiracy theories episode, just simply because you got up to pee so many times and the amount of times me and Jamie truly went off the rails.
Oh, it was so off the rails. Well, and that was in our stretch of within 24 hours, we were recording like
9 hours of podcasts.
Yeah, 9 hours of podcasts. Like it was like three different episodes. So that was the culmination of our spending time with Jamie.
So much time.
So much time. That was so much fun.
It was truly hilarious.
Yes, it really
was. Also, it's tough because I also loved recording the Hamilton episode with Jen and Connie. And now Jen and I are on a podcast together. Look out.
Look at how you've grown this year, Chels. You've read. You're doing your own podcast now.
Look at me go.
Spreading your wings and flying away. I'm trying to think. There have been so many good ones that we've done this year for various reasons. I think my favorite, one of my favorite ones that I have talked about with another podcaster is the episode we did with Caitlin Durante and Yumina. I think that was...
I think it was a really good one, even if it might be divisive for some people. It's hard hearing some of them things.
Yeah.
But we also just have to be able to accept the things that we love are flawed and just move on.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that was really fun, though, because it was just such a whim for, I mean, most of our guests that we've had have just been kind of like whims. It'd be nice if you came on, wouldn't it? Don't know if you watch Community. And Caitlin was like, I do, and I want to come on. So that was really cool.
And she was so lovely.
She was so great. Lovely. So great. So great. Yumina's so great.
Everyone go listen to the Bechdel cast.
Yes.
Go subscribe.
This is your plug for the Bechdel cast. I listened to so many episodes this week. It was great. I listened to their Inception episode, and I was like cackling, listening to that one and the Hunger Games one, because I had not listened to them before. And then I just think any episode that we have Jamie on is just so much fun for me. Like, that's just been so fun over this last year, because Jamie, as you guys know, is the one who got me into the show, and we've been friends for so long that it's just, anytime we all have a call together, it's just one or more hours of us just talking.
We have never had a 1 hour call. It's at minimum three
hours. That's what I said. It's 1 hour of us talking and then like 2 hours of us maybe doing.
I think I took an over 3 hour call and made it under 2 hours for the actual podcast. Like, we got into rewriting the Academy Award history. It was amazing. Those are some outtakes I just need to release eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Give the people what they want, Chels.
I'll tell you how Angela Bassett should have won an Oscar eventually. That's in there somewhere.
There you go. Well, so we'll circle back to some more of those questions later on. And as far as our listener questions, let's start off with, Core has a few that she submitted, so I want to start off with this one. What class do you think you would teach at Greendale? And I feel like it would be fun if we answered for each other.
I was going to say, mine's not reading, point.
I think that we would each teach one really, like, good class, like an actual academic course, because there were actual academic courses at Greendale. But then we would also teach, like, one really absurd class that would only exist at Greendale. Like, you would definitely teach a class solely about Moira Rose's wigs and wardrobe throughout Schitt's Creek. Like, that would be your whole class, is tracking all of the wardrobe and like what it says about her, and you would make it a class, and that would be one of the classes that you would teach for sure.
The funny thing is, I told myself before the Emmys started, because I found a David Rose the light black lightning bolt sweater on Etsy. I told myself, if Schitt's Creek wins Best Comedy Series or an Emmy or two, I'll order this. And then, like, an hour later, they won them all.
And you're like, I guess I'm ordering it then.
So this really tracks.
It really does. I'm just saying, I can see you teaching that class. What class do you, like, what other class? I mean, that's a class I think you would teach. What class do you think you would teach?
Oh, goodness. I could teach a podcasting class. Ooh. Like, for sure.
Yeah.
I actually was supposed to teach a podcasting class before the pandemic.
Really?
Like, literally 2 weeks, because I teach at a community art center, and they send us to Boys and Girls Clubs a lot, go to different schools. Mm-hmm. And so I had already taught them stop motion animation the first half of the semester, and the second half, I still have all the podcast microphones, because I've not been back to the community art center since. And yeah, I was supposed to teach podcasting, and everyone was looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
It was like they wanted to get through animation to get to podcasting, and then no. Yeah.
That one would have been a really fun one to teach, because that's like something that is very also as we've discovered in this pandemic when everyone has a podcast, very relevant to the youths and
people. It really is. You just know this, like, whenever I knew immediately when, like, guests did not have headphones on, and you would just get some very stern texts about,
yes,
yo,
here's yell somebody at people. It's helped now that we have visual, so I can see people wearing
their I literally said, can we add a visual element so people aren't talking over each other?
That's true. People still talk
over literally each other. Created Shells cut this just so people felt comfortable.
Yeah, you would have been really good teaching that class. I hope that you got a chance to at some point in the future, maybe.
Well, who's to say? It's one I'd have John to Mulaney. Teach in person because most of these kids won't have the access and the materials and all that fun stuff.
That's true. To quote John Mulaney.
I'm like trying to think of a silly class you would teach.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be, you have such a great sense of food and restaurants. I feel like it would almost be like how to be like, like restaurant takeout, like the art of restaurant takeout.
Ooh.
And like how to order things from different places in the most, like, efficient and good way.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just using an Applebee's app. It's like you really find the best local places.
Yes.
Like, when I went to go visit you, you took me to every single local place. We did not. Like, no. The only name brand thing I ate there was So Much Mac and Cheese because, again, back when I could eat mac and cheese.
Because mac and cheese.
I ate so much Yoda mac and cheese. It was wonderful.
I mean, that's always my thing whenever people come and visit me, because I just want them to experience, like, actual local restaurants, because there's so many good places that aren't chain restaurants and they have so much good food, and I always want to do that. That'd be so much fun.
I feel like you would literally just have, like, a class of 10 students and you would go to different restaurants, teach them how to order, like, maybe the etiquette of eating out at a restaurant and how to tip people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so important.
I feel like that's an actual life skill people need.
It is.
How to order food, good food, try new things, and behave in public.
It's true. Because a lot of times the best thing to do is to ask someone what they recommend, and to kind of, like, especially if you like alcohol, if, like, you get some wine, ask them, because there are a lot of places that do, like, wine. Oh, this wine pairs really well with this. So that would be such a fun class. I so want to teach that. I was also thinking that I would love to, at Greendale, teach, like, a shipping and media class, because I think that would be so on brand.
That would be, like, your actual thing, like, a media theory course about romance and attention and film.
Yeah. See, that my real one for you is, like,
you'd have the Meg Ryan week, and I would just audit your class.
Yeah, I would love, because, like, that would be really fun. I feel like yours would be either, like, something podcasting or, like, intersectional feminism in, like, film, I feel like would be really cool. I've
already taught that before.
I know, which is why I'm thinking that would be such a great Greendale class. So that's, like,
I do think I would teach a class very, like, not entirely based on Oscar history, but, like, maybe I'm just gonna shout out some of my favorite podcasts, the Mixed Reviews, how they take a whole person. They, like, for example, they took Cary Grant and watched as many Cary Grant films as they could and gave their 5-star review and their 1-star review. I think if you, like, maybe take a decade for, like, a film course, study it the entire semester, and you could pinpoint different performers from that decade and talk about it, I think that would be super fun for a film class.
That would be so fun. Oh my gosh, I would love that. We should just.
And again, we would have a Meg Ryan week.
I would.
Obviously.
Yes. It would opposite, so that we could audit each other's classes.
Exactly.
Audit your Meg Ryan week. We would be good Greendale teachers, I feel like.
We'd be
so good at it. All right, from Charles, FYI, we've shouted him out before. Charles is so great and is one of the
men. He is the only man. He is one of the only.
Well, there's like a few others in
here. There's a handful of others, but, like, at the top, it's like Tom Hanks, Jacob Tremblay, Charles.
Aww. Well, and the fun thing is that I don't think that we've kind of shared this before, but, like, back in the fandom days, especially if you were part of, like, the Jeff Annie fandom, there weren't a lot of guys that were involved in Twitter and engaging. And so shouting out to Charles and Matt from Communies and John Heaton and Clinton and Mark. Those are kind of like the guys that were around and were kind and were very uplifting and very encouraging of all of us. So shout out to you, because you guys like 10 plus mm-hmm. years ago were encouraging us. In your
For stuff. Sure. I've known, yeah, Charles and Mark. I'm probably as long as I've known you, maybe even longer. I don't know. It's all a blur in that time. But no, even now, Charles, I feel like just everybody go Venmo him. He's so lovely, because he just sends you delightful little updates all the time. Or if he sees something, he'll tag you in it. Mm-hmm. He's just one of those most wonderful people. Yeah. I cannot emphasize this enough. Go follow him.
I know.
Can we link him in the show notes?
Yeah, we can link him in the show notes. Yeah. he's been so kind to us over the years.
He's the student of the month.
Yes, student of the month. Next month, you guys, everyone else can try for student of the month, but yeah, no.
Jamie will never be student of the month.
See, the thing is like, Jamie will split the vote, because I will vote for her and you will not vote for her, and then she will never get it. But Charles asked, and this is something that I actually have an answer for, because I was rewatching a season and I was like, yep, this is it. If you could recommend a season of any television show to anyone, what season of what show would it be?
Oh.
Mine, I can go, because I already know it, is season two of New Girl. Like, season two of New Girl is, like, peak awesomeness. Like, it gets a little rough in season three and beyond, but, like, legitimately, there are a few weak spots in season two, but once you get to, like, Pepperwood all the way through Elaine's big day, I remember watching, like, following along with, like, the AV Club as they were watching that, and, like, every week it was, like, an A grade for those episodes, or, like, a B plus, but that was, like, the lowest. So, because you got, like, Cooler, you've got, like, all of the, like, Nick Jess stuff, you've got really genuinely funny things that happen, you've got Winston's birthday, you've got Rob Reiner, so, like, it's hard to go wrong. And when I was rewatching it, I was surprised at like how many, I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, this is genius. And FYI, the Virgins episode of New Girl is one of the best episodes ever. And I always reference it, like we were talking about last month being Halloween, the idea of like sitting around telling stories, and like New Girl's Virgins episode is like peak comedy for a whole episode where the characters just tell stories, and it's funny and it works and it's so great. So season two of New Girl, I would highly recommend to everyone. It's just chef's kiss.
This is so tough. I feel like I have so many. Okay. If I only have, do I only pick one?
Sure. We're going to make this
Ruthlessness.
Okay.
Well, it's sad that it's not happy endings, even though season two of happy endings is pretty dang great.
Yeah.
But I think the first season of The Golden Girls is some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen. It feels like they fell into the perfect concept. It actually like won Outstanding Comedy Series its first season, and Betty White won lead actress that year. Like all four performers eventually won Emmys. They're like one of a handful of casts to do that. Schitt's Creek's up there now. Like they did it all in 1 year somehow. Yeah. But yeah, the first season of The Golden Girls is perfection.
Love that.
And my runner-up is Doctor Who, the first Matt Smith season.
Oh, that is a good one.
I feel like that one, had it just been the one season, it would have been a perfect run of a Doctor.
Oh my gosh.
Because I feel like
it went too
far afterwards. I didn't like the season after very much. But that first one, I feel like even their like a lower episode, it like comes back round and it all works.
Was that first one? That first one was the Pandora opens, the blue box. Yeah, I think that that was so good. Angels of Venice.
It's like the Exploding TARDIS one, and it's got the Vincent Van Gogh. Oh, it was the
Van Gogh episode, which is one of the best episodes. Like,
one of the best.
That's a really solid choice, too. That's a very solid choice. I need to do a rewatch of Doctor Who soon, at least through, we don't have to get into all my weirdness with Doctor Who. I liked what I watched of the Jodie Whittaker series. I didn't really like the last Capaldi series or the past couple. Not because I don't like Capaldi, but because I just didn't like it.
I quit right whenever it was like Matt Smith and the
Clara.
A couple episodes into the new, one.
Yeah.
I just wasn't into it because I was already falling off with the last Amy Pond season and everything. Yeah. I just was not into it.
It was real hard. It got.
That was like Stephen Moffat writing, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I just was.
Yeah, Moffat is.
Mm-mm. I don't like him as a writer. It's just a miracle that I liked that first season he did. I really do like the Jodie Whittaker stuff, I will
say. Yeah, I was going to say, I really do like Russell T. Davies era, like some, like the later.
A lot of crap, and I understand some of it, because I do love Martha Jones, but I don't think the show loved her.
No, the show did not love Martha Jones. Just like the show did not love Britta Perry or Shirley Bennett. No, it did not.
But I think there's so many really good episodes in that series. It's so good.
I think like the Catherine Tate era and the like that is really, really good. I mean, it gets really dark toward the end, which is very good for David Tennant in terms of performance, but it also is like really hard to watch. But I mean, yeah, the one thing from the Stephen Moffat era that I will It's the iconic is Blink. I mean, that is the one thing from the Stephen Moffat era that I was.
That's
like,
Carrie Mulligan. I know, for the Oscar nomination.
It's Carrie Mulligan. Like, I just love when people discover
and, like,
Blink.
In that same season, Andrew Garfield's in an episode.
I always forget about that. He's in a because it's a Dalek episode, and I hate the Daleks and the Sun.
Oh yeah,
they're just so.
They're not scary.
No, and they're just so overused, and they are just. It feels like the thing that they fall back on. Weeping Angels, however. Hella creepy. I walk by angel statues, like there's one around the corner from my house that like there's like a little angel fountain. I like watch that thing as I walk around the corner. I'm like, I know that this is irrational, but also Doctor Who taught me to be afraid of statues. So there's that.
Trust him.
No, you can't. So let's ask another podcast question. We've talked about this amongst ourselves, but let's let our listeners into who our dream guests are for this podcast.
Oh, the first one that comes to mind is Emily Vanderwerf.
Oh, yes. Yes. We
I love her so Emily. Much. Like
we've been
following her reviews since like the beginning, and that was like the one critic you could always count on her to like have the review up and be thoughtful even whenever she didn't like something.
Yeah, Emily and Sepinwall were the two that I really respected and followed back in the days. Those were the only ones that I really like read actively.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, Emily would be so great. I would love to have her on to talk about like
everyone go follow episodes. Her. Oh yes, her top five.
Yeah, we could all do like a top five list, top five episodes of Community. That would be, I feel like that would be fun. But Emily's a great suggestion. And also, yes, go follow Emily. I mean, look, we're gonna shoot for the Breeze. We're gonna shoot for Allison Brie and Brie Larson. Like
we
Academy
want Captain Marvel
winner.
Thank
Captain
you.
Marvel. Podcast or not podcast YouTuber extraordinaire.
Oh my goodness,
podcast
her actually. YouTube channel is so delightful.
I know she just did a video with Cassie from Blog Lotties, and I've been following Cassie for years, and it was so fun because they did like a little tag team thing.
I just remember watching it, the what is it, do 100 sit-ups in 5 minutes. And did I tell you about the scary random fact of me being in really great shape and athletic in high school?
No, wait, what?
Have I told you I was in ROTC in high school?
No, I'm learning so many things about you, and so are
maybe
listeners.
That was the other podcast.
How many lives do you have, Chelsea? I've learned so much about you.
So many.
You, it literally is the Abed. Do you have your own little side adventures?
I have my own. I literally was moving into my new apartment in 2017. That weekend, I like moved half my stuff in on a Friday, and all my other stuff was at my parents' house. And I told them I was spending the night in my apartment, and I'll come back like Monday or Tuesday to get all my stuff from that weekend because I was busy. Mm-hmm. I was busy because I flew out on a Saturday and flew back in on a Monday night. And I went to LA to go to the Creative Arts Emmys.
Oh, yeah.
And I just didn't feel like explaining it.
Oh, fair point.
I just didn't want to. Yeah. But no.
You were an ROTC.
Rewinding back to, yeah, I was, they have like a junior ROTC, like before college one in high school. We were a Navy one. I was a big fan of the Navy because I have so many family members that are in the military and particularly the Navy. And I was like, they get you into shape if you are like any sort of kind of slim person, they will be like, you, we're getting you into shape because they have physical fitness competitions.
Oh, yeah.
So at one point, one of the competitions is we would go to all the other schools in the area. Like I went to like Oklahoma and Kentucky for all these drill meets, but they had had these competitions. Mm-hmm. And one of them was you have 2 minutes to do as many sit-ups as you could. And it was just like everybody competing and then you would flip and your partner would do them. And I won because I did over 200.
What?
Mm-hmm. I used to be so in impressed. Such good shape.
Oh, I'm so impressed with this, Chels.
That yeah, is... no, no. Don't ask me to do that now.
I was going to say, please. Yeah, no.
Wow. Like in 20 minutes, I was able to do 1,000 one time. Jeez. I mean, it hurts.
Well, because yeah. Because you must be sit doing there and it do 1,000. Fast. Yeah.
Oh, you're doing it so
very,
fast.
Very quickly. Wow.
But no, so I was great at that. I could do push-ups. But also, I got so many different injuries in high school because of ROTC.
I also feel like
so now I just have all these now you're, and pains.
Now you're, and that's how you became 97.
Oh my goodness. I was fully 50 years old in high school with all my injuries.
Dude.
Like one of them was an inflatable obstacle course competition.
Okay.
And I had already like probably hurt my foot. Yeah. In a tug of war because it was me and at the time I was like 87 pounds and a tug of war of me and all the other girls who were taller than me but not much bigger, and we were up against, it looked like some linebackers like
aren't you
they
always?
Literally dragged us and I twisted my ankle for sure. Oh. But I still had to compete in everything else, like a three-legged race, an inflatable obstacle course.
Good grief.
And so at the end of the obstacle course, it's like a slide that you're just supposed to slide down. Uh-huh. But I had so much momentum
that you like flew that,
sort of, I basically backflipped off and landed on my ankle.
Oh no.
I fractured my foot and broke my ankle.
Oh my gosh.
And I still went to the camps they do. So for like, it was like a 2-week summer camp, but you're waking up at 5 a.m. and running around. And I got even more injured there. And I just was so sick because the food was bad. So, and I had food allergies back then that I just like was not aware of. Yeah,
that's fair.
Wow. So I was sick, I was injured, and I was still getting up at 5 a.m. and going to bed super late.
Oof, no.
And it was just not, it's not great.
No, hard pass. Hard pass.
But you have great stories whenever you're 97 years old.
Clearly, you've lived so much life now. I love it. I love it. So those are, I mean, Allison
Brie. I love that this started with Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. Allison Brie, Academy Award winner. Marvel, Captain Marvel, Brie Larson.
I'm trying to think of who else.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. I'm trying to think of who would be really fun for us to have.
I would like the ghost of Olivia de Havilland to come and disparage Ryan Murphy.
I will have so many more questions if a ghost joins our podcast than anything else.
But like Olivia de Havilland, before she died, she was like suing Ryan Murphy and FX for using her in Feud Betty and Joan, which is also terrible. Don't watch it. If you like Joan Crawford and or Betty Davis, go watch the Be Kind Rewind video. Not sponsored, but actually technically I do subscribe to her Patreon, Izzy's Patreon, but go follow her on YouTube. There's some really great video essays and they have some about Joan Crawford and Betty Davis and the quote-unquote feud.
Mm. Yeah.
But also, she's, like, so much better at research, and Ryan Murphy sucks. So, Olivia de Havilland, come guest, and we will let you disparage Ryan Murphy as much as you want.
Yeah.
Ryan Murphy, you are not invited.
Ryan Murphy is, the worst. We don't want him here. You know what I think would be really fun? Yeah, I'm putting it out into the universe. We've already had him on twice, but I think it would be really fun to have Taryn and Kobe on our podcast, like a nice little tag team episode. I think that to talk about their tragically canceled ABC TV shows and maybe just life in general.
I'm so upset about that.
So upset about it.
Stumptown. I really like Stumptown and Single Parents.
My gosh, we can't even talk about
Single Parents yet. And Layton was going to be on Stumptown.
Gosh.
As her love interest.
So mad.
Remember when that news broke on this podcast that I didn't realize? Like,
yeah.
We had a whole pause. It's in the end credits somewhere.
Yeah, we had to. Yeah, no, it's on the conspiracy theories one when we have all of the end credits.
Again,
it was a gem.
That's why that was such a good episode.
Such a good episode. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I think that would be fun. I'm putting it onto the universe. It doesn't seem out of the realm of possibilities. So, okay. I'm going to skip over the question to you. I'm going to go to Mark because we were talking about Mark a little bit earlier. And I'll come back to the from Chels to Chels question because you told me to put that in here. From Mark, this one is an interesting one. So favorite movie or show that you weren't sure you'd like, but ended up loving immensely. He said that his is Pitch Perfect. So
I think we can all steal the Pitch Perfect answer, first one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think that, like, we talked about this in our TV character appreciation one. I think Teenage Bounty Hunters, RIP, was a show that I did not know what to expect from, and actually was really pleasantly surprised with how much I really liked it. I had a lot of fun. I find that usually is the case with anything that's branded more of, like, a teen show. I usually end up having more fun than I expect or anticipate with it. So like that, I'm trying to think of like what movie did I enjoy more than I thought I would?
I think my TV show would be Trophy Wife because it's a horrible title.
Yeah, that's a
good one. But I remember watching the first episode. I think they like aired it early or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so funny.
Yeah.
And I truly did not expect to like it, but I watched it because I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it has a great cast.
It was like Marsha Gay Harden, Malin Ackerman, yes. Natalie Morales, Bradley mm-hmm. Whitford, Michaela Watkins,
who is the nicest person. Sometimes I forget I met her once. I did. I met her when I was out in LA. She's very nice.
How do you?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Most delightful show with kids that were not annoying.
Yes. To add to the TV show, probably Selfie. Selfie was a very off-putting title, too. I didn't expect to like it, but I really, really enjoyed it. Tragically canceled, Karen Gillan, John Cho. John Cho needs to be in so many
things. And that was literally just My Fair Lady, which is exactly what I want.
Yes, exactly.
Movie-wise, I will say... the 1945 Mildred Pierce. When I watched it for the first time, I like watched it because I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just watch this old movie for posterity. Mm-hmm. Joan Crawford won her Oscar for it. When I say I fell in love with this movie, it feels like it was just made maybe a couple years ago. Everything holds up. It is just so good. It's so tightly edited. Mm. It's a perfect noir, and it like takes some of the tropes and puts it a little spin on it.
Yeah.
It is so much fun. I'm going to make you watch it one day.
Okay. You can do that.
Criterion.
I think besides Pitch Perfect, I actually rewatched this recently because a couple come to mind immediately. The Edge of 17. I cried during that movie.
The Hailee Steinfeld one,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
That has Hailey Lou Richardson, mm-hmm. who was in Unpregnant this year. Mm-hmm. Great HBO Max film.
Great film. Great
I
film.
Didn't know you watched it yet. I loved
it. Yeah, no, we talked about it. We texted because I had watched it before you did.
Oh, yeah. See.
See, I watched something before you. One time.
She's also in a great movie with John Cho. It should still be on Hulu. It's called Columbus. I think you'll really, really like it. It's got Lady Bird vibes. It's like just that aesthetic.
Bless.
The aesthetic of Lady Bird. Also the runtime, because it's not a long movie, thank goodness.
Yeah. I can't do long movies, you know.
She's also in Support the Girls, which is...
You just talked about that.
It's on Hulu. It's a neon film, and it is perfect. I would have made it Best Picture of 2018.
Nice.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, so Edge of 17, and then I would say Home Again. I think Home Again was one I didn't know how I was going to feel about it, but I actually I quite enjoyed it. It feels very, I mean, it's Efron-y, right? Isn't that? It's an adjective now. Adverb. It's Efron-y. Not to be confused with Zac Efron, which is another descriptor of something that is Zac Efron-y.
And I think that was directed by Nancy Meyers' daughter.
Yes, sorry. It's Nancy Meyers, not Efron. That's what I meant to say. I mean,
we're talking about romantic comedy icons.
It's true. Yeah. So it gave me very, Nancy Meyers vibes. And also Efron-y vibes, I guess, if you're going to, you know, track it. Okay, Chels, you're up for this one, because this one you reminded me to put in our list. From Chels to Chels. You talked about this before. You said you were going to say at some point what four Academy Awards you think Toni Collette should have. Please enlighten our audience.
That was mentioned in an episode.
I don't remember what episode it was, but
I don't remember which one, even though I edit these. I should know, but I said Toni Collette should have four Academy Awards. Okay. And I have pulled up her her filmography, and maybe I'm wrong in that it could be more.
Okay.
So going backwards, I would have nominated her for Knives Out because so much fun.
So much
Hereditary, fun. I think that would have been an amazing win. So Hereditary is one of them.
Okay.
She wasn't my favorite performance that year, but I do think she should have won. Melissa McCarthy and Can You Ever Forgive Me? Another movie I think you would like a lot. Also, there's like a Nora Ephron joke in there that you'd really like.
God bless.
But no, we're going to go Hereditary. Ooh, let's see. She is also in so many movies. Like, she's in The Way, Way Back.
Oh, she's so good in The Way, Way Back.
Oh, she's so great. In Her Shoes, the movie with Cameron Diaz and Shirley MacLaine.
Yes.
I would give her one for that. I think that's more of a supporting actress one. She's in About a Boy.
Oh, yeah.
I think she was nominated for a BAFTA for that, if I am wrong. I might double check here real quick.
Okay.
So right now we're at In Her Shoes. Ooh, Little Miss Sunshine. I would have given her an Oscar for.
Yes.
I don't remember who won that year in 2006. I think that was Helen Mirren and the Queen. So biopic, of course, it's about a queen. So we're at In Her Shoes, Little Miss Sunshine, Hereditary. What else? Ooh, The Sixth Sense, when she was at her one and only Oscar nomination. I would have gave it to her for that. So that's already four. And then, I want to give her more as I could. I will say she should have won for Muriel's Wedding. It's a 1994 film in Australia, but it was released in 1995. And that was the year Susan Sarandon won for a movie that nobody has ever seen, except for, like, Oscar-y people. And Muriel's Wedding is great. I think it is a really good depiction of a sad person, but also a selfish person. And there's a really great female friendship. It's really nuanced. So I'm a big, big fan of that. And then I need to double check.
Best actress.
Toni Collette was nominated for a BAFTA.
Yeah.
Best actress in a supporting role for About a Boy.
Okay,
which is a great nom.
So best did you say 2007?
2006.
2006. Oh, yes. 2006 Oscars.
I think that was Helen Mirren, because 2007.
No, 2006 was Reese Witherspoon for leading, but then supporting was
Rachel. No. Here's the thing, though, about the Academy Awards, which is another great thing.
Oh, gosh.
There's, like, a debate if you call it the, Helen Mirren, I'm pretty sure, won her Oscar for a film that was released in 2006. Do you use the release date or the ceremony date? It's different. I use the film's release date.
Yes, you were right. Then, so 2007 was Helen Mirren.
Yeah, because it went Reese Witherspoon, Helen Mirren, and then Marion Cotillard for another biopic. I always remember that year because that was the Juno year. And I'm like, why did Ellen Page not win a Golden Globe that year?
Yeah, right?
Technically it's a musical because she sings, but it's more of a biopic. Huh. It's so wild that I just remember that all these random wild. Academy Award nominees.
I'm so proud of your memory. It is for very, certain things.
It is very niche.
It's very niche memory. It's like,
but
it's,
if you ever want to just throw out a year and ask me what was there, I could probably think like, about it and get to it.
You're like, yes, I can get this.
I could mentally get there.
We've got a lot of other questions beyond just our podcasting community one. So let's go to, this is a good one from Emma. If you could have a full crossover episode between Community and any other TV show, what would you pick and why? Happy podcast birthday. Thank you, Emma. Thank you. Ooh.
Another TV show, but like a full crossover?
Full crossover.
Hmm.
Trying to think of what I'm like thinking of what was on at that time too, or like I guess the show's not on now, so
I also want to know if I need to like break the rules of reality with it, because I feel like
go ahead.
Already broke their own rules. Community
broke the boxes of things, so
yeah. Oh gosh. The easy one would be Doctor Who, just to mess with Inspector Spacetime.
Oh my gosh. Karen Gillan said that she wanted to be on Community. Why did we never capitalize on that? She's probably too expensive. Let's be real.
It was
they would have blown all their budget on Karen Gillan. That too. They would have literally blown
off. But it was pre-Guardians of the Galaxy, Karen. They probably could have got her.
It was pre-Guardians of the Galaxy, but like in the throes of Doctor Who. No, well, yeah, actually it was pre-Guardians.
Yeah.
In the throes of Doctor Who. So she was
sort of, yeah. Yeah. But that was like the first time Doctor Who was like broadcast in the US roughly around the same time.
Yeah, something around then. It was like
because it started with Matt Smith.
It was her first or second year that she was on Doctor Who, that she had done those like interviews about.
Oh, have I you seen say it was in her second year.
I think it was.
Everyone because, just send yeah. Fact check us.
Fact check us.
Nice. Be nice. I think that would be fun.
That would be really fun. I'm trying to think of what show would have been fun for Community to crossover with. I mean, any of the NBC lineup. Like, let's be real. I mean, The Office would have been like really random, but fun. I mean, it would have been easy because it's on NBC. I'm trying to think of like outside of the box.
30 Rock tonally and the speed of jokes would have worked really well for them.
Yes.
I would have liked to have seen Abed and Jack Donaghy or Liz and Britta.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like maybe Britta could have worked for Liz Lemon.
Would have been such a funny like meta, like, wait a second, that guy looks familiar to Donald Glover. That would have been very much what they capitalized on in that.
And he had like a very small
role. I'm trying to think of like outside of the box, what other shows would be like really fun to have a full crossover with. I mean, also tonally, Happy Endings would have been really great, like because they also shot on the same lot. Tonally, I feel like Happy Endings and Community would have been real fun.
That would have worked really well.
How about a full Cougar Town like crossover? Because we didn't really get a full.
I would have loved that
crossover.
I would have liked Britta and oh gosh, Krista Miller's character.
Oh,
I think that's her name. Yeah. I'm so bad at things.
No, it's Krista Miller. I just don't remember what.
Oh, her I'm so smart. Was. Not really.
Oh, those would have been fun.
I would have.
Those are like tonally also similar and wacky, and I think that. Like the cast would have just been good together. You know what? Let's talk about food, Chels. Why not? We've got a couple of food takes because Amanda and Cor, whom we love and adore dearly and who will be on our season 3 premiere episode together. Cor started off the question. Thoughts on divisive foods. Oatmeal raisin cookies, pineapple on pizza, and tapioca pudding. Amanda has a follow-up to that, but I'll start with these ones. Oatmeal raisin cookies, yay or nay?
Yes to the oatmeal portion, because if you put some frosting on that, like a nice icing, and let it melt on there, it's so good. Absolutely not to raisins. How dare you?
Huh. I say maybe once, like a year. Yay to oatmeal raisin cookies, but they have to like, be really well-made oatmeal raisin.
Maybe if it was fresh baked and you could trick yourself into eating it, and if it had icing.
Yes.
It needs to be warm with icing.
Warm, but like nothing is more disappointing than biting into a cookie thinking it's chocolate chip and realizing it's raisin.
That's why I'm eating chocolate chip cookie dough and not raisin cookie dough.
I stand by that. Pineapple on pizza.
Hell yeah. Love pineapple. Always.
I love pineapple, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't have a feeling strongly one way or the other. Like, I wouldn't pick it off the pizza, but I also wouldn't voluntarily put it on the pizza.
Does that make sense? I always put pineapple on my pizza. Ideally, pineapple, bacon, some sort of roasted red pepper.
Okay.
Oh,
you got like the good like textures and like salty and sweet combo going on there.
But you know me, I am like so food particular in a way, and it's like. If I'm going to get sick from pizza, and I probably will.
Yes, exactly.
Knowing my body.
Worth it for me. So it's like
I have to really jazz it up.
Worth it for me.
Or like pineapple and chicken. Like you get some chicken on a pizza.
Like a barbecue like a buffalo chicken.
Or a buffalo chicken.
Yes. Barbecue or buffalo chicken and pineapple.
Ooh, and always put spinach with it. Always.
No, spinach is just delightful either way.
Spinach, roasted red peppers, chicken, bacon, pineapple.
I approve of this.
Also a good sandwich.
Ooh. Tapioca pudding?
Absolutely not. Is that still a thing?
I guess. I don't know that I've ever had tapioca pudding, nor do I feel like I've missed out on life having not had it.
I've had it like once in fourth grade, and it was like, no, why?
I'm just like a weird texture person. Like, I feel like tapioca pudding is just not that.
It's all texture in the worst way.
Yes. So Amanda wanted to follow up on that and said, thoughts on cottage cheese, coconut, and frosted sugar cookies. So cottage cheese, yay or nay?
Absolutely not.
Hard pass.
Gross. Disgusting. Also would kill me.
Ugh. Hard pass.
It is literally just rotting milk. Coconut? No. It tastes plasticky.
I associate coconut with sunscreen because I think the sunscreen that my mom used on me when I was younger had like really strong coconut vibes, so it tastes like I'm eating sunscreen. And I don't like the texture of it either. Like I don't, ugh, no thank you. Hard pass. Frosted sugar cookies. You know the ones that she's talking about are like the ones that are like those soft
kind of
sugar
like
cookies.
That you would buy at like a Walmart.
Like a prepackaged at Walmart or Target.
Prepackaged. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. If you gave it to me and I was at a party, I would probably eat like a dozen. Mm-hmm. They're not good though. They're basically Play-Doh.
Okay. And I can't remember who said that one.
They're like sugar and Play-Doh. I don't know.
I think it's Core. I think Core said that it was like Play-Doh texture.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know this.
Core was like, ugh, no.
I don't always read all my mentions.
Well, I think she had mentioned, this spurred Amanda for commenting on it, but I was like, I will eat a bunch of them. It's overloaded sugar. I don't get the Play-Doh-y texture because it's very, the ones that I get, at least from like my grocery store, are usually very light and airy, but it's just sugar. That's all you're eating.
I hang out with a lot of kids and I've accidentally nibbled some Play-Doh. It's surprisingly similar. It is surprisingly similar, just a little bit more sugar.
We're going to circle back around to accidentally nibbling Play-Doh in a little bit.
You know, when you play with toddlers, there's...
I mean, it's true. Sometimes they just do things. From the community's account, why is the community fandom what it is? It's really interesting to me because we were in the community fandom 10 plus years ago. We're doing this thing now. We've just celebrated a year. And we're still finding and meeting people, and the fandom is still kind of kicking. Like, a lot of the same people who are around then are around now. So, I don't know.
I would say that this is not a thing that is unique to community. No. It is something that is experienced in many fandoms, especially if the content is easily accessible. Mm. And if there's other stuff to go with it, like fan art, fan fiction, any of the other stuff, like it's very popular. You look at a Harry Potter or a Buffy's super big, Star Trek, like they've done like fandom studies before. That's an actual thing.
Yeah.
Like one of my friends is writing an academic book on Parks and Recreation. Ugh. Cannot wait.
Bless. Yeah.
Will not say who, just in case She gets in trouble. Yeah. But it's not a unique thing. It's just one of those, like, people are always going to bond over mm-hmm. shared interests, yeah. and the internet's just made it a lot easier.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just how things are. I mean, like, I have so many friends that are just friends because of mm-hmm. the Academy Awards. So many of my podcast friends, it's like they were either on a podcast talking about film or yeah. like had, like, I found the Mixed Reviews podcast because of the This Had Oscar Buzz podcast. Gavin nice. Was a guest on it.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, this person's delightful. I'm just going to follow them. And it turned into one of my favorite podcasts because it's just people who like movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of like fandom in itself, too, if yeah. you just really like stuff. So yeah.
I think I don't know. The reason why the fandom is what it is because it was what it was 10 years ago. Like, there's no reason. I think if we weren't as close as we all were 10 years ago, I mean, I think that that influences the way that we continue to invite people. And Megan said it when she was on our show. She, like, loves seeing how we, you know, people who are fans just invite new people, like, oh my gosh, you watched it for the first time. Like, welcome. And I think that that is true of so many different ones. I think if we hadn't had the memories and the attachment and the emotional component that we did 10 years ago, like, we probably wouldn't still be doing it 10 years. I mean, maybe we would, but not to the extent that we're doing it. But I think it's just, you know, it's all about people. I think the good people that stuck around. And it also helps
if yeah. the people you meet and become, like, fandom friends with, you become friends with about other things.
Yes.
'Cause I know yeah. with me and you, we would just yeah. keep watching and talking about television because yeah. when Community was bad, we also had happy endings.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, things to watch.
That's my thing too, is, like, we talk about life. Like, I mean, Jamie and I connected because of a fandom, but, like, I remember very vividly going through a lot of life things with Jamie, like when her niece was born, when I went off to college, when she went off to college, like when we had breakups and, like, all of these, like, family drama, everything. So it's like, we started because of that. Our bond is always strengthened by, like, you know, sharing about, oh my gosh, she just texted me, like, a couple days ago, something about a New Girl Vulture panel. And I was like, New Girl, because that was another thing that bonded us in Community and all of that. But, you know, we're real friends. Like, I would say a lot of the people that I'm friends with in life, like, even I know Matt from the Community's account has asked that question, but, like, you know, Matt's DM'd me and messaged me over the years, like, when he's seen that I'm going through things and is like, hey, just reaching out to let you know that I'm here for you, like, hope that you're doing well, that kind of stuff. Like, it has to go beyond just everyone is connected because of a thing that they love, and to everyone is connected because they're people who actually are connected to each other. And I think that's what makes any good fandom a good fandom, and a good fandom experience is when you can actually tell that people are friends beyond just yelling about the show.
So the moral of this story is, be kind to people.
Yeah.
And even if they don't like the same episode of television as you, or if they, like, have different feelings of, like, mm-hmm. about Community
mm-hmm.
now versus 10 yeah. years ago, like, my views have changed a lot just because I've evolved as a person. I've come into my own a lot. So mm-hmm. I really loved the show 10 years ago, but also there was a lot of faults that I just was not aware of.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, if somebody doesn't love it the way it's fine, you can still be their friend.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause, like, you never know, like, you'll still be friends with them.
I don't really care about New Girl that yes. much, but me and Jen are still friends. Like,
we are.
It doesn't hurt me that she loves the show.
Yeah.
And that's, it doesn't, like, one
tell us that I don't watch movies. I mean, it does, but not, like, detrimental.
I mean, how dare you not watch From Here to Eternity, Best Picture winner of 1953.
97 years old, can't remember when we recorded a podcast, but can remember the best picture winners from specific years. I love
it. If it helps, that was also the year Audrey Hepburn won her Oscar. That's probably that helps.
If you ever want
to,
no,
just in case friends and stuff, just remember, like, just be kind to people, find your common interests, but it's okay to have differences and it's opinions and stuff.
Yeah.
Just respect people, be kind, be cool.
Yeah.
That's how good fandoms are made.
That's 'cause
there was a lot of toxic Community mm-hmm. fandom that I, like, ghosted out of mm-hmm. because I'm like, I don't need to follow these people if they're just bringing negativity onto my timeline.
I mean, that happened with so many fandoms for me. Like, I just peaced out because I was like, oh, the people are terrible to each other. Why do I want to be part of this? And I think one of the things that at least I've seen a lot of is just a lot of positivity, like a lot of people liking each other despite, you know, differences and things that they, you know, again, again, it's totally cool to still be friends with people who don't like the same shit. We'll talk about relationships and, you know, being friends with people when your differences extend beyond that. But, you know, I think that that's what makes it the fandom, you know, any good fandom not toxic is being able to say, yeah, your favorite character is not my favorite character, but like, also I like you as a person. And also, how are you doing? Like, you know, and making relationships. So I think that's what makes the fandom the fandom. All right, let's circle to a podcasting question. This one might be fun for us. What kind of chaos corner topics should we tackle in 2021? This has been a real fun thing that we've done, thanks to Chelsea and her constant stirring of chaos.
Truly just wanting to talk to Connie and Jen about Hamilton. I mean,
it's true.
And just to be petty and like in the background of things. But yeah.
What should we talk about in 2021? What kind of chaos corner topics do you think we should do?
Here's the thing about the chaos corner. They're not just planned very far ahead.
It lives up to its name. You just go, we need to talk about this.
I have some thoughts.
We haven't done like a full like Schitt's Creek chaos corner yet. Like we really haven't.
But also we might just do that as the next rewatch when we're done. I mean,
truly, this podcast is just going to turn into a rewatch of any show that we just it decide. Really
could. I'm like trying to think. We could do a Criterion.
Yeah, I was going to think.
Jamie back for.
You know what would be really fun is if like we did a chaos corner where I watched an episode or I watched a movie for the first time that I'd never seen that like is a favorite of yours or like a popular movie and then like I react to.
I do have my top 10 films that make me love films.
Ooh.
Not my favorite films of all time. It's kind of my favorite films, but also films that really inspired me. Let me find the list. My great friend, Megan Brando.
Okay.
She's a real life friend from college, but also she's great on Twitter. Give her a follow if you want. Me and her have a lot of opinions about, it's like when people say, what are the greatest films of all time? You hear things like Citizen Kane and The Godfather and Pulp Fiction and... Yeah. I call that the, you're the dude in the film class in college who has never, like, really ventured outside of yourself.
Yeah, like, those are your favorite films because someone told you that they're the best films.
Like, exactly. Pulp Fiction's a great film. Yeah. Like, there's some great stuff in there. It's not my favorite Tarantino film. That's Inglourious Basterds or Kill Bill. Yeah. Or Jackie Brown. See, it's like not even in the top five of my favorite Tarantino. I don't even like him that much is the funny part. But let me find this list because Letterboxd is great. Okay. I should just do this alphabetically. 20th Century Women by Mike Mills. It came out in 2016. Stars Annette Bening and Greta Gerwig and Elle Fanning. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It is possibly my favorite film of all time? ?
I did see that one.
Beauty and the Beast, because as a child, I just loved the movie so much, and there's so much great animation and music, and it's cheesy, but also it made me really, really love movies.
Heck yeah.
Before Sunset, the Julie Delpy, Ethan Hawke, Linklater thing. This is the, oh goodness, it's the middle one in the trilogy. I hope they make more, though. And I don't know, it's just beautiful and perfect. And go watch all of them, but maybe put a few weeks in between because you're supposed to watch them 9 years apart or whatever. Another Greta Gerwig joint, Frances Ha, which is a great study of friendship and trying to become a person when you don't have your best friend around anymore. Let's see, what else do I got? I have six more. I should hurry this up. The Gleaners and I, which is a documentary film by Ada. I think you would love it, even though you're going to have to read subtitles. I have it in my beautiful Agnes Varda Criterion box set.
To be fair, or to be clear, I don't know what people have against reading subtitles because I have captions on everything that I watch on Netflix.
As a person that has taken reading exclamation point, I can tell you it's not hard.
Yeah, it's not like, hard to read.
You can watch Parasite or The Gleaners and I and still understand emotions even if you have to look at a subtitle. Like, I don't really even need the subtitles because I can see what's going on and you just read human emotion. It's nice to know exactly what's being said, but no. It's a documentary. She is following their gleaners. Basically, they go and pick up stuff, usually in like farms or stuff out, like harvested. It's all the stuff left over because there's so much left over food. And I think it's about that, but it's really just about wandering and people and how Agnes herself, as this legendary filmmaker, how she's wandering through life now because her husband had already passed. Mm-hmm. She passed away last year, and she has just made some of the best documentaries, I would say. Mm. I wrote a great paper about it in college.
Interesting.
Also, she's like the greatest filmmaker ever. Everyone go. She'll just, like, she would have just taken, like, a camcorder, like your regular one you would buy at a Walmart or something, and go make a movie, because that's such a luxury compared to like back in the 1950s when she was making movies, like started making movies, and you have all these giant film reels and it's so much more fragile. Hmm. We're so lucky. Okay, I'm gonna hurry up, I promise. Lost in Translation, Sofia Coppola won an Oscar for it. Yeah. Also, go watch On the Rocks with Rashida Jones. I think she should at least be nominated. It's nice and lovely, and everyone's like, it's super light. And I'm like, it's fine. You guys voted for Green Book. Let Rashida Jones have an Oscar nomination. Yeah, it's fine. Mamma Mia, here we go again.
Why
I don't know
surprised?
If we've ever had more fun in our lives.
I don't know that we have either.
We were also so tired.
We were so tired, and it was so much fun. And Emmy had so much fun with us.
Mildred Pierce, the 1945 film, better than the 50,000-hour limited series on HBO starring Kate Winslet. Roman Holiday starring Audrey Hepburn and Gregory Peck. When I say some romance, that holds up. So good.
It's true.
And my last one is another documentary, Stories We Tell by Sarah Polley. Oh. I know, it's so good.
I've heard of that one.
If it's not on streaming, I will eventually just send you my DVD.
There we go.
But she does a exploration of her mother, because her mother died when she was really young, and then she's like exploring all these stories and interviews all her family members, and each of them tell the stories differently about her mother. Mm-hmm. And she's exploring all of this because it turns out that the person she thought was her dad her whole life is not her biological dad. Mm-hmm. And she's going to find out who it is, and it's like this great little mystery and journey, and I love it so much.
She needs to
make more movies. It's so good.
There you go, friends. I feel like we need to have more like film chaos corner stuff, because we've had a lot of TV chaos corner in 2021. Let's do some more film.
I have so many great ones. Let me just pick a random criterion.
There you go.
An unmarried woman.
Okay. Done.
I do think I'd like this one. Or wait, okay. What's this one? His Girl Friday.
Oh, I have not watched that.
Oh, when I say this is a gen movie, it is Cary Grant, Rosalind Russell. They've never been better. They both should have won Oscars. This is a perfect film. This is you.
Okay, I'm going to watch that ASAP. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that there's just, it's the joy of Chaos Corner is that we just text each other and be like, we need to talk about this thing. So
I literally just look on the calendar and see a Julie and the Phantoms episode is coming up, and I'm like, that tracks.
Chaos. So yeah, like, I mean, we can do hot take anything. Anything in 2021 is fair game.
We will probably talk about the Tessa Thompson movie Sylvie's Love, which I did watch because of the Chicago International Film Festival.
Nice.
And I think I just want to talk about it a little bit. So maybe I'll make you watch it. We're also going to talk about Christmas movies.
Dude, that's already a chaos corner for 2020, man. That's I'm so excited. I need
when
to get
I
my Dolly
say,
shirt.
I am so Mama Mia, here we go again, level excited.
I need
and it to helps order. That Christine Baranski's in it. I need to order that
a Dolly shirt so that we can have it by the time we record.
I need to order it so I can wear it every day and yes. be buried in it.
God bless. Let me knock out a couple of these smaller ones because there are a couple here that require a little bit more of thought for us. This one should be pretty quick. It's a yes or no. From at House of Gun, is Abed Batman now? Yes. Abed should be Batman, I guess. I mean, who's the, what's his face? Robert Pattinson. Isn't he the Batman now? Or a Batman? I don't know.
He is a Batman. They're going to kind of do a multiverse and bring back Michael Keaton's Batman. And oh. They're also bringing back Jared Leto's Joker for this.
Oh, so yeah, I did hear garbage. About that. I don't want
Well, that. They're bringing that back for Justice League. The other ones are going to be in the Flash movie.
Want
maybe things. Abed isn't Batman because I just don't want to doom him like that. I don't
okay, that's true. Him there you dirty. Go. Abed is we, Batman in our hearts, but like we'll let film have their own canon so that I'm they like, can't take this from us.
Could he be? That's cool. Can he be the next Iron Man? I know that's like something that they have other Iron Mens,
yeah.
but one of them's also a girl. So you know what? We'll figure this out.
We'll figure it out. He Danny Pudi deserves.
He's technically bit. Already in the MCU.
He is in the MCU. From Nyx INDT, do others see the similarities between Community and Saved by the Bell? And here's where I'm going to have a confession time. I have never watched Saved by the Bell. All of that new reboot that they're doing totally lost on me. Never watched an episode of Saved by the Bell. There is your shock of 2020, people.
I saw some episodes in syndication like one summer in high school when my mom first got cable.
Mm.
And I was amused at the time, but it's also, I know it's not for me.
Yeah.
I will say, though, there's a lot of really great writers on the reboot, so maybe I'll watch that. Like, I believe it's Shantira Jackson from Busy Phillips Podcast and the Amber Ruffin Show.
Yeah.
I believe she was a writer, and then another Amber Ruffin writer, I can look it up later and say, was also on that.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll give it a chance for that. Also, I really just like Elizabeth Berkley. Yeah. I think she's a good performer. She's technically in one of the quote-unquote worst movies ever made, Showgirls, but also that movie is a camp classic.
See, sometimes you just gotta embrace the camp and call it what it is. Yeah, and my college roommates and sweetmates loved Saved by the Bell. I just feel like that was the one thing, one of the things that I kind of fell away from and just never caught on to. So sorry, I cannot answer that question for you. From Mary Hollis Baird. I hope I said that right. Well, just finished Psych for the first time. Love to hear y'all talk more about it, which I would love to talk more about it because Psych is one of the shows we're just going to do a rewatch of. And I think that we should have another Chaos Corner about Psych. What would your Psych podcast be called? I should have thought about this because this has been on, we've had these list of questions for a long time. I feel like, I mean, the obvious is like, I know, you know, because, you know, that's the title or that's part of the theme song, but it would have to be like something super like punny and creative and probably
just be like Psych Come Home or something. Let's like steal their tagline. I don't know.
Castos. I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to think of like,
I also only watched like a little bit of Psych.
Psych is delightful.
And like randomly in the middle when like Rachel Lee Cook was on.
That was only in the second season. I feel like you would like it if you, because it's not like one of those shows where you have to get like addicted to it. It's not like cliffhangery. You can watch it piece by piece, but they always do a really good job of blending like the procedural element, the comedy, and like some really good emotional stuff. Plus, they make a lot of film and TV references that I don't get because I don't watch movies. There's a whole episode in season 4 that's a serial killer who uses Hitchcock films. And like, there's lots of things that
Here's
I don't
my
get.
Confession. I don't like a lot of Hitchcock movies.
Well, I was going to say, it doesn't even matter because it's just references. Like,
it's so
just,
funny.
Yeah, it's a very, very well done episode.
Like, I like the movie Rebecca because I like the book Rebecca, but even Hitchcock had flaws in his movie.
Yeah, I was going to say they had... Yeah, I don't know.
But Cary Grant was good in some Hitchcock movies, so yeah. Maybe that's or something.
Yeah, I should have thought about, I'm going to continue to think of.
We don't prepare for this.
Of psych puns.
I prepared my snacks.
I mean, aren't those the most important things to prepare? From Matt, if you could be an extra in any show, what would it be?
I never want to be an extra because that is so much work.
So much work. They're like, so long.
I've been film set. If you're an extra and just in the background, you have to sit there a lot. People generally aren't nice to you.
Mm-mm.
It's not great. They don't pay you well. I don't want to be an extra.
I was an extra in a movie once.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a lot of staying very early into the morning to sit because they needed a group shot, and we just had to sit there.
Yeah,
look like we were awake. It was 12 o'clock.
Most of the time, you don't really get paid, or if you do,
I didn't get paid. Yeah, no, my sister and I did it together. We did not get paid. I guess if I had to make it, like, it would have to be worth it then, like, for me to do that. Like, it's something that I really enjoyed. I mean, I guess if it's like shows that are still on the air, like, I would do like another psych movie. I'd be an extra in a psych movie. Like, that means I have to go to Vancouver.
And Mamma Mia, Thank You for the Music.
That you're writing and directing, so
yes, that I am writing and directing and
jokes on you. I'm gonna be an extra in it. Fly me to wherever you shoot it, which hopefully is somewhere tropical, beautiful, and warm.
It's usually like Croatia.
So yeah, I was gonna say, isn't it? Yeah, isn't it Croatia usually that doubles as Greece?
I always love that little behind the scene extra video that just shows all the cast, like, how they stay happy is that they're just drinking.
Yeah, I mean.
They're drinking and on a beautiful island.
Yeah, I would say something like that, somewhere an extra in a TV show. I guess technically Psych was a TV show, so it could be a movie. I think somewhere where I could actually like enjoy the atmosphere. Let's see. From the community's account again, favorite silly Troy line. Matt loves the "Did you know that Go-Gurt is just yogurt?" like one. There's so many ones that Donald Glover has.
I've said that line a lot.
in real life. Did you know that Go-Gurt is just yogurt?
Usually, just to my nieces and nephews because they eat a lot of Go-Gurt, and I just go up to them like, "Did you know Go-Gurt is just yogurt?" It's different when you're telling a 4-year-old, though.
That's true. I mean, all of my favorite Troy lines involve him hysterically crying. So, like, I don't know what to do. My whole brain is crying. Wait, I can explain. Let me explain. Oh my gosh, what is his line about, like, the scapegoat, but, like, the escape goat one just, like, always cracks me.
It's like, if they need an scapegoat, they can have this one.
It's so dumb, but it's so great.
Or like, there was an episode of Happy Days where a guy literally jumped over a shark, and it was the best one. I always just love that little reaction in the documentary episode when him and Britta go to like hug each other.
Like, not a quote, but I'm different. Stop saying I'm different.
It's like, alcohol makes people sad. It's a lifetime movie of beverages.
Oh my gosh, there's just so many. I got like, we were just talking about Halloween, okay. You punched a lady bee, or
right?
Leonard's a zombie. There's like anything that he says in the, they're shooting lasers and I'm naked, like the digital explorer, the video game one. Everything that he says in that one is hilarious.
Oh, wait. You are a pizza burn on the roof of the world's mouth is a great insult.
You're the AT&T of people. It's a great joke.
Which is so true. I have AT&T now and I hate it.
You're the opposite of Batman. Bringing that full circle for us. So there's just so many. Anything, I think we've talked about this multiple times. Anything that is said by Troy is funniest because it is Donald Glover saying it. It would work. Probably, maybe, if it was someone else, but it definitely would not work as well if it was like that. So many of these lines. Okay, so we'll get into some of our longer questions now. Let's wrap up our podcast community ones. Is there an episode of Community that you see in a new light, either positive or negative, because of this past year of podcasting?
It's not so much an episode, just of how much of the show, a lot of the jokes are dated. And that's a problem with all comedies, not just Community, but Community is pretty dated in a lot of its jokes.
Yeah.
But like the joke from season one finale, the queen joke, need to make transgender joke at all. Yeah. That's really offensive. And it's not one of those, oh, you guys are, you just can't. It's like, no, that's just a really fucking shitty thing to say. Yeah. And I'm going to say it. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of kind of mean-spirited jokes like that throughout the series. Mm-hmm. It's really punching that I just don't particularly like.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the whole running thread about not knowing if Abed's on the spectrum or if he's just Abed or something. Like, I don't know, like, back in the day, I was just a person watching a TV show, and it's like, oh, he's kind of like Sheldon. Everyone was kind of like that.
Yeah.
Since then, I have also been a teacher and grown as a person and worked with kids with developmental disabilities, and it's like, maybe we just don't make jokes about that. Yeah. Maybe we just try to explore and be smart about that stuff. So that those are my things.
I think probably when we did the D&D episode, that was some light that was shed a lot that I didn't really think about from years ago, but also just even Morgan kind of bringing up like the mental health and the addictions like part that you guys were talking about. I really hadn't thought about that before. So that was cool to be able to kind of go, oh, okay. Like that's very
good. Good on us for finding a social worker by accident.
Yay.
Thank you for coming on the podcast, Morgan.
We love you, Morgan.
Get ready for another episode.
But yeah, no, I think that, I mean, and what you said too, I think just revisiting some of the things that I knew probably 10 years ago weren't great, but didn't know how not great they were, or things that I just see differently now. But yeah, I think that particular episode, because there was so much controversy around it, I think really that was probably the deepest that I thought about a Community episode all year was that Advanced D&D one. So I think that's probably my answer. Okay, these ones require more thought. One of them is food related, because obviously. Let's go with Marie's two-part question, though. If Lifetime decided to make one of those unauthorized behind-the-scenes movies about Community, how would you feel about it? Who would you cast, including Harmon, the writers, etc.?
I think it'd be a very boring movie.
Yeah, I don't know how exciting it would be.
It would just not be very interesting or exciting. Plus
then, like, wouldn't Harmon then have to be, like, the protagonist of this movie if it was behind the scenes?
I think it would have to be, like, Harmon and Chevy Chase, because they're, like, the characters
quote unquote,
like with Harmon, just like story structure wise like the first act would be him doing great and achieving things, the second act's where all of his issues are coming up
and the third act is when he gets taken back
and it's like you don't learn anything. I don't care.
I don't know.
Also, I don't think nobody needs to be put in a position to make Dan Harmon feel better about his horrible things he's done. I think you could watch any Charlie Kaufman film, which is always about a self-loathing man and always wanting a woman, and you could get the same effect.
Mm. Yeah, you know? I don't feel like we need to. Because, I mean, besides, like, the stuff with Chevy and, like, the stuff that happened, and that's just a result of Chevy being who he is. Like, we don't need to make movies about every problematic person that
there is out there. We do not need to make movies about problematic white people all the time. We already have Joker, and all these people are not interesting.
We don't need to be that. But also, that's,
I would just cast the cast.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, I mean,
they look exactly the same as a decade ago.
It's true. They do. I don't think there was enough, like, it's not like Glee, where I feel like there was a lot of like drama behind in front of the camera, a lot of things to talk about that like went into it. I think with Community, it was pretty much just those things. Like Chevy was an a-hole and Dan got fired and then rehired. So those are pretty much the plot points. And we, don't we already know those. We
don't need a sexual harassment story.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't.
We already know what happens. So, but Marie also asked part two of the Lifetime movie question. If there was a subplot about Community Twitter trying to save the show, who would you cast as the OG Communies? Why don't we all just play ourselves?
First off, I have been in some short films and television series.
Is this your pitch and to be in this Lifetime
movie? Absolutely not. This is my pitch against
not be in this Lifetime movie.
Because I just want to get in and out of there. And
yeah, exactly. Usually
it's because of it's a cameo or something.
Yeah.
So no. Like, also, who are the OG Communies?
I feel like, you know, people like Catherine and like Jillian would be considered more like the OGs. Like they were the ones who kind of did Community.
Okay, so Harry Styles would play Jillian.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Off the board.
You know what I would take? Here you go. I would take a Communicon movie because then Jillian would be like the focus of it.
That
like
is a great idea.
Thank you.
I would cast Lily James as you. Then she would have to sing.
I'm honored. I'm so honored. I didn't even go to Communicon, but I will happily.
Me neither. Everyone's like, do you want to fly out for a weekend to do an art show? And it's like, I'm broke in college. Yeah, exactly. And I have time. I could go make a crappy short film. I was that so no one's broken.
Who would you who would you cast as you? Ooh.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know.
What
if I just cast Jamie as you? Just to piss you off.
That'd be so bad.
Just like well, the ultimate.
In that case, you would just have to cast two very hostily aggressive friend type people. I'm trying to think of who I would cast as Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm like just forgetting who actors are. You know what? We're just going to keep the theme of this.
Uh-huh.
I will do, what's her name? Alexa Davies as Jamie and Jessica Keenan-Wynn as me, even though I'm short and look nothing like her.
That's okay. These Lifetime Unauthorized specials don't feature anyone who looks like anyone else. It's fine. I am a fan of this.
So I could get this Mamma Mia reunion. And then I will secretly make Mamma Mia Thank You for the Music.
It's all a ploy. All a ploy to get everyone in the same room.
It really is.
Yeah, thank you for that one, Marie. We've decided to take a spin and creative liberties on that one. Okay, so last food-related question from Core. Because Chelsea shares my strong feelings about breakfast, what cereal would be the favorite of each study group member? That is a really good question.
So Jeff clearly likes Cookie Crisp. Because
but like secretly he can't admit that to anyone, like he can't because he's so conscious about like his abs, he can't admit to loving sugar.
I think that would be his favorite, and he would just say he just doesn't eat cereal.
Yeah, there you go.
Carbs.
Yeah he would, that would secretly be his favorite, but he would just say he doesn't eat cereal.
Troy likes Fruity Pebbles.
Yes.
Because they're delicious.
They are delicious.
I have a whole box. I just bought a box last week.
I think Troy's is just, that is perfect for Troy. It's a very, very on brand. Pierce is like some brand cereal. Like, I don't know. What's like a old person cereal?
He's like an off-brand Honey Smacks.
Oh, I haven't thought about Honey Smacks in like, yeah, he wouldn't do brand name. It would be like subverting. Annie feels like she would have something very practical, like Raisin Bran. Like it's still a little sugary, but it's like for you. Britta, oh my gosh, what would Britta's favorite cereal be? Britta's actual favorite cereal, what would she say her favorite cereal is because she doesn't want to get judged by other people?
She would go to like her local natural food store.
It's like granola. Granola is just her favorite. It's like
she would say she got that, but then she would get like some again, like an off-brand, like, Frosted Cheerio.
Okay, I was going to say either, like, off-brand Frosted Cheerios or, like, off-brand Lucky Charms. Like, I can see her really liking something that is sugary, but she would never admit to that.
Yeah.
Because what does she say to Shirley, like, when she talks about, oh, do you know that has so much sugar in it? Like, sugar is, like, crack for babies or something like that. My homie,
and I feel like Shirley, so. I feel like Shirley would actually be the one who truly does not eat cereal.
Yeah,
because she makes her kids eat it, or like she would just make waffles or something.
Yeah, I was thinking like waffles or like.
She's like the toast. True adult who eats really good food, or would like make her own homemade toaster strudels and pastries. Yeah. Like
that's what I'm thinking too. Like Shirley wouldn't.
Shirley would have taste.
Okay, Abed. Abed's a wild card. Because he is eating cereal, because he and Jeff have, what's the home economics?
Is it Fruit Loops?
Someone's going to fact check us. They're yelling at their...
They're probably right yelling at us. I can't hear you.
Sorry, speak up.
I feel like Abed would just be like a really easy Fruit Loop or something.
What did they... I'm like literally trying to look it up. They are basically... Oh, it's like... I mean, Abed is the one who has, like, what does he make? Oh, no, that's Troy. A special drink is Troy's thing. I'm pretty sure that they are eating, like, Lucky Charms or something very similar to that.
He would be, like, the Lucky Charms Fruit Loops kind of dude. Maybe some Frosted Flakes in there. Mm-hmm. Like, your name brand traditional ones that you see the commercials for and very identifiable characters. He'd get some Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
He'd probably just have all of them.
I think he would have, like, a pantry stocked full of them.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. What, our last question. What are some of your hottest pop culture takes from the past year?
I'm trying to remember this past year, aka the past 5 decades of my life.
A year that would never end.
Oh my goodness. Hot
take.
Tiger King is not something ever worth watching, even on an entertainment value level.
I never watched it.
It was like somebody in my house started watching it, and I looked at it for a couple minutes. I'm like, absolutely not. And I'm somebody who generally watches like dumb reality shows like The Bachelorette, which I'm behind on, and other stuff. Like Dancing with the Stars, I really enjoy the camera work on that, and some of the performers. I usually fast forward through that show.
Yeah.
What else?
Never Have I Ever was slept on because it happened so early in the year and everyone forgot about it.
I still need to watch it because I don't have time to watch things.
That's my take, is that it's one of the best shows this past year, but people forget about it because it happened so early in the year.
And then let me see. I have some hot Broadway takes.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be hilarious and wonderful if Aaron Tveit lost the Tony. Because if you have even listened to the soundtrack to
Moulin Rouge. No, I've heard it's not good. I don't like Moulin Rouge. Like, I'm not a fan of Moulin Rouge. I've watched it maybe once in my life. Jamie is yelling at me right now, and I can hear you, Jamie. But no, I don't care.
Jamie loves Moulin Rouge. I am pretty whatever on the movie. I don't generally like anything Baz Luhrmann does. Not even the Romeo plus Juliet. I'm not super into. Also, I just not super into Shakespeare. We're just going to go hot takes in general.
Shakespeare.
No, I don't. Like, he wrote for his time, whatever. But... yeah, I kind of hope he loses that Tony because it is a really, really bad, because I've listened to it. I tried to listen to the soundtrack. It's so bad. I've watched clips of the show. It's laughably bad.
Yeah.
And it's somehow worse than the movie. I know the movie's beloved, but I get why it would be loved in like 2001 when it came out. But now it just feels like an extended Glee episode, and nobody needs that.
Gosh. I'm trying to think. Oh, okay.
Other things that happen.
This is a hot take, I guess, but like, not really, because I still don't know how I would change it. I guess I would just award it. I would make the Emmys have two awards for best writing in a comedy series, because I think that Good Place's series finale should have gotten some sort of recognition. I wouldn't have taken it away from Schitt's Creek. I just would have given an extra award to The Good Place, because I think that's a show I fell off of in a third season. I started not liking it. I think the finale, I liked the last season, the season before I did not care for as much. I think that the finale was a beautiful, well-written, existential finale.
I know it was very divisive.
Oh, really? I feel like most people basically sopped through it, but I found it to be really well done. So I would have given something an extra award this year, because I did like the show. I think it fell a little bit in quality, maybe, I guess, season three, because season four was its final season.
Maybe. I'm trying to think. The show Ozark ain't shit. It can be canceled. I cannot wait for it to end. It is like, one, it's not filmed in the Ozarks. Me and my other podcast host, we grew up in the Ozarks.
Oh my gosh.
And most people don't even consider Lake of the Ozarks proper Ozarks, because it's not even real. And geez, it doesn't look like that. Like, everything is such a heavy blue filter and super grim and depressing. Mm. It's a show I've tried to watch multiple times and just, I cannot stand it. It is dumb. Also, I don't think Jason Bateman's a very good actor in comedies either. He does nothing.
He's not my favorite Jason. Sudeikis has become one of my favorite Jasons over the last year.
Who are the options for Jasons?
Oh, there was a Twitter thread. Mantzoukas?
No.
Mantzoukas, Bateman, Sudeikis. Who's the other Jason? Oh, it's oh crap. What's his name? Blah. Man, I'm not gonna remember. I'm trying to think. I mean, we had our hot takes about Community. We've kind of covered all of those things.
Jason is Jason Alexander from Seinfeld.
I mean, there was another. I feel like there was another thread that had
Jason Clark, Jason Doering, who was Logan Eccles on Veronica Mars, a show I loved and a character I love. But no, he's a Scientologist. Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
I can't remember. Anyway,
Jason Momoa, I bet.
Oh, Jason, yeah.
Okay, so out of all the ones you said, I would pick Jason Momoa.
I mean,
yeah. And I don't even watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he seems like the best option.
Any final questions you want to ask me?
Well, we'll close with some nice thoughts and things. I mean, any take in 2020 can be a hot take, I guess. But, what's been fun for you over the last year of this? Like, besides me, obviously.
Sorry, you just said the words fun in reference to 2020.
Pretend for a moment.
Fun.
Yeah, what's been, like, I feel like this has been fun over the last year to get a little bit of a break from the insanity that is the world. Yes. And it's been nice to be able to like connect with new friends and old friends and just laugh, just talk about dumb stuff in a show together. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm grateful that we had this for 2020.
I'm surprised we made it this far.
I am too, man. I'm constantly surprised that we have made it this far, but you know what, we did.
Here's one thing we can do in 2021.
Yeah, what's one thing?
Try to make a Patreon and pay us, we will do the episodes that we did not want to rewatch. Ooh. But you have to pay us.
Yeah, that's a good incentive, Chels. They're gonna really
each patron can request one episode for us to cover that was not covered on the main feed. If you want to be really mean, do The Art of Discourse.
You all are gonna make me watch The Art of Discourse. I know it. I know it. Oh gosh, I've actively avoided that episode for 10 plus years. $1,000.
Because people don't realize how expensive podcasting can be.
It's true. We pay.
You have hosting fees. I bought this mic.
Yeah.
You've got your mic.
Yeah. Headphones. Yeah.
My editing software.
Yep. We hosting. We do all this stuff. We don't really get paid for this. So if you want to pay us so that we can watch the episodes that we don't necessarily like and you can hear about it, let's do that in 2021.
We'll do that. Also, we will take other fun chaos.
We will take money and we'll shout you out. We're really good at that. Your name, you can hear your name. Yeah, there's so many people.
Podcast reviews. I feel like I'm always promising to read those.
I know. We don't really have any new ones since like a month ago, but
I've never read any, I don't think.
But we have, we've got so many people who have helped us this year. Obviously the biggest one being the community's account, Matt and Mike, both of whom we've had on this, who are lovely, lovely humans who have done above and beyond to try and promote, our stuff, not only, and, other podcasters, because there are other podcasters out there who've been really gracious in coming on our show.
Let's say allegedly us. Other podcasters.
Allegedly other podcasts. Because Chels doesn't only listens to this show because she has to edit it. Yeah.
I literally just listen to film podcasts. True. And like Busy Phillips.
Busy Phillips.
Like Grace Helbig, Nicole Byer, like all the good stuff.
There have been so many kind people. We've met so many amazing people. I'm really excited for season 3. We've got a whole schedule. Goodness,
we have actually quite a few reviews. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Would you like me to read one? I can try to
see. Go ahead and pick one that you would like to read. I will continue to thank people as you decide which one. I'm just very grateful for all of the people that we've met and for all of the people who've been so supportive of us. It's just like Charles said, we don't get paid to do this. We just have fun doing it. And I mean, we would like you to pay us to do things. We will still take that IHOP sponsorship. Thank you very much. I will happily take IHOP.
I want a waffle right now.
I will accept payment in form of waffles and pancakes, man. It's been a really good, wild year in a very uncertain, unprecedented time. And you all have made this so enjoyable, you guys. Chels was literally texting me a couple days ago and was like, I love seeing positive engagement that people tweet us and things like that. So continue to.
I've texted you a lot lately. Yeah. It is so weird when I wake up and people are like full on having a conversation in my mentions, talking about the show and praising. And I'm like, this feels uncomfortable. Why are you being nice to me?
Thank you guys for listening to us, even though we know sometimes we're super critical. I'm not going to apologize for it. I just am really grateful that you guys listen with nuance, because that isn't always the case for people. So
just I will to read close us out, why don't you read a couple reviews.
Read a couple of podcast reviews to close us out.
These are from earlier this year. Mm-hmm. The first one, 5 stars from Jeffrey Malone. I listened to the Pascal's Triangle Revisited episode. See, reading is doing so good for me in the year of our Lord 2020. Okay, so I listened to the Pascal's Triangle Revisited episode before most of the other episodes because I had to just hear the discussion about that kiss, all caps. And I've got to say, it did not disappoint. I'll pretty much automatically give any community-focused podcast 5 stars as long as the hosts love Greendale as much as I do. And that certainly applies here. I used to read Jen's episode reviews back in the day, so I know she knows what's what. 5 out of 5 meow meow beans.
Oh, Jeffrey's actually coming on the show next season, so I'm really excited
to
have him.
Thank you. And then one more from Fit and Trim, 5 stars. Okay, here we go. A podcast needs a host who is passionate for the subject they're discussing. A+. Mm-hmm. Podcast guests need to be level-headed and discuss the pros and cons of the matter at hand. A+. When reflecting on a fun entertainment, a podcast should be fun and entertaining. A+. Straight A's. Download for graduate level discussion of Greendale.
Oh, guys are so nice. Thank you. Thank you. So, yes, I'm Chels, as always, this has been a blast. Thank you for all of your hot takes and your, we didn't nearly discuss as much Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again as we did last time, but
We didn't discuss that I stayed up until 1 a.m. editing a podcast last night.
That's true.
Just so it would get out this morning, because I'm a very busy individual.
Yes, you are.
This week before the election. This is when we're recording.
Yeah, this is when we're recording. This will be aired on November 30th in the world that hopefully still exists.
Oh, my goodness. Let's just put some good vibes out into the
world. Cross fingers. I was going to say something else. Oh, yes. If you would like to play a fun drinking game, I highly suggest that you listen to our Q&A episode where Chelsea and I talk about Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, and you drink every time she says Christine Bransky, because I can promise you all of your cares will be gone very soon into that 2-hour episode.
Also drink a lot of water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For every drink, take a drink of water or two. So, Chels, what a blast. What a gem. Why don't you tell us some things that you would like to plug before we close out?
You can follow my Twitter and Letterboxd account, Chels725. I've been posting more ratings. I need to put more reviews on Letterboxd. They're a little entertaining. I usually don't say too much because I don't want to be mean to movies. I was mean to the Rebecca movie last week, though, this past weekend. It deserved it. Ben Wheatley did not know what he was doing. I feel so bad for everyone involved. And then, follow Those Gals Have Moxie. Mm-hmm. We're on most podcasting platforms, and we're at Moxie Gals Pod on Twitter. We'll try to engage more and stuff. Look forward to some Chicks review. That one's dropping tomorrow, so it'll already be out by the time it's there. Mm-hmm. And then our Broadway, Tony's recap, State of Broadway. It should be interesting. We have a lot of hot takes.
I'm very excited for that one.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. I feel like that's all I got.
Okay. If
you want to Venmo me money and I'll buy more Criterions, go for it.
Heck yes, do it. As always, you know you can find us on Twitter at COMM Rewatch Pod and on Instagram at Community Rewatch. Happy end of November. We are headed into the last month of this dumpster fire year, so hope it's a good one for everyone, honestly. I don't know what else to say at this point. Like, just hope something improves your end of the year, so... thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Happy birthday to us! Yay! Thanks so much for listening to the Community Rewatch podcast. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did, be sure to follow along with us wherever you get your podcasts. And we're on Twitter, so follow us at COMM Rewatch Pod for general funness, for new episodes, and to maybe get some sneak peeks of what's to come. Many, many thanks to our editor, Chelsea Eichels, for putting together today's episode. And thanks to Maddie Shook for designing the key art for this podcast. Again, we're so glad to go back to Greendale with you. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.